Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Have you been bitten by the Bitcoin bug yet? That's the digital currency that may be finding a foothold in our financial and commercial worlds. An update a little bit later. But first, getting bitten by the flu bug may be more likely for most of us. The flu season is in full swing and proving to be a familiar and nasty strain this season. The H1N1 or swine flu was last with us 4 years ago. Local hospitals report a spike in flu cases. Barnes Hospital says at least 9 people have died from the flu. Dozens have required intensive care in local hospitals. It's now officially described as widespread. This time around, younger and middle-aged people are increasingly among the victims. Older people, the very young, and people with respiratory conditions have traditionally suffered the most from H1N1. Joining me to talk about this year's flu season are Dr. Hilary Babcock, infectious disease specialist at Washington University and medical director of occupational health at Barnes Jewish Hospital and St. Louis Children's Hospital. Doctor, so nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm not sure most of us want to enjoy talking about the flu, but it's a necessary subject these days. How big of a problem is it this year?
It's definitely a big problem this year. The flu is a problem every year. So every year we do see people becoming infected and people getting sick and dying. But this year it's definitely been more and has been, as you mentioned, affecting more people in a different age range than we usually see.
Why is that, I wonder?
Well, this specific strain of the virus, the H1N1 strain of influenza A, is one that when it came out in 2009, we also saw this similar age distribution. Part of that may have to do with the fact that a related virus did circulate many decades ago, and some older people may have been exposed and have some residual immunity left that younger and middle-aged people do not. And partially also, younger and middle-aged people don't tend to get vaccinated. They may not have access to vaccine. They don't think that they need the flu vaccine. They don't think that they're going to get sick. And so they're less likely to have gotten vaccine.
Where are we in the season? Are we in the beginning, the middle, or close to the end?
Flu seasons are very hard to predict. So we're early in the flu season, and the flu season here in St. Louis often goes into the spring. So there's definitely still time to get vaccinated and get benefit from vaccine. We would expect to still be seeing flu into the spring.
You know, there are some people that I've heard say, I don't want to get that vaccine because the last time I got it, I got the flu.
So we do hear that a lot. There are a couple of reasons that people have that perception. The first thing to know is that the flu vaccine cannot cause the flu. It does not have any active flu virus in it. It's only killed virus there. The flu shot cannot give you the flu. However, it does take a week to 10 days, sometimes as long as 2 weeks, to really get a good immune response built up after you get the vaccine. So if you get exposed to someone who has the flu around the same time that you get your shot or right afterwards, you may still get the flu, even though you just got vaccinated because you're not protected against it yet. And also, I would just add that the flu vaccine only protects against influenza. So you can still get a cold. You can still get other respiratory viruses that are not the flu. But I think people tend to think, I got my flu shot, I shouldn't get sick at all.
Well, how do you know you have the flu and you don't have a cold?
So in most cases, the flu is a more severe illness. Fever, often high fever, sore throat, cough, and body aches. And usually that higher fever and the body aches are less common with a cold than they are with the flu. And also, influenza often has a more sudden onset. So with a cold, you may develop some sniffles and then slowly progress over a few days. And with the flu, you may be more able to say, I was fine this morning, and this afternoon I started feeling terrible.
Yes, I've heard that when it happens just all of a sudden. How long typically does it remain with the patient? The victim, whatever.
So the victim often is ill and feeling bad for at least 5 to 7 days. They do start often shedding the virus in that first time period, often a day before they actually become sick. So they can be spreading it to other people even before they realize they're ill. And then often remain feeling bad for 5 to 7 days, sometimes longer in people who have underlying medical problems or have other reasons to be sick longer.
How is it spread?
So the flu is spread by what we call respiratory droplets. So it's in when you cough or when you sneeze, you spread these little droplets into the air, and the flu virus travels in those droplets. So anytime that someone coughs or sneezes, if they don't cough or sneeze into a tissue or into their elbow, they make a little cloud of influenza viruses that anyone nearby can be affected by.
What's the most effective thing we can do aside from the vaccine to protect ourselves?
So the most effective thing is really to get vaccinated, and getting that vaccine is the best way to protect yourself. Otherwise, mostly you can protect others if you become sick by staying home so that you don't spread the vaccine to others. Don't go to work. Try to avoid going to crowded areas if you're sick, and stay home and rest and recuperate. Otherwise, the same things that are good for health promotion in general, staying healthy, not smoking, washing your hands, eating a balanced diet, all of those things are good in general. There's nothing besides the vaccine that is specific to flu prevention.
That staying home if you have the flu is really key, isn't it?
Yes, that's very important, and something people often don't think about. They think that, well, I'm, you know, a strong, dedicated worker, and I can go to work sick with the flu, and don't realize that when you do that, you're not showing what a strong, dedicated worker you are. You're really just becoming a public health hazard to everyone around you and could infect more of your friends and colleagues.
I want to open our phone lines as quickly as possible because I'm sure a lot of our listeners will have questions. I'll remind everyone that the number is 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. You can also send us a tweet at STL on air. We are talking with Dr. Hilary Babcock of Washington University, an infectious disease specialist. Dr. Babcock, during this period of time when you have the flu, is there a time when talking about going back to work when you can safely do so? I mean, do you have to wait until you absolutely feel 100%, or is the contagious period end at some point that you can recognize?
It's hard to define exactly when the contagious periods end. For most people with a respiratory infection, and you may not know if it's the flu or something else, though in this season, if you have compatible symptoms, it's most likely that what you have is the flu. So you should stay home until you have not had a fever for at least 24 hours without taking any fever-reducing medicines. So fever-free without medication for at least 24 hours. And then you should be feeling significantly better. So if you don't have a fever, but you still feel ill, you still feel run down, you're still coughing a lot, then it's probably best to wait.
The vaccine every year, it seems to me that I've heard, is a little bit of a crapshoot. You kind of have to anticipate what might be coming down the road, and none of us has that crystal ball. Tell me something about that, how that whole process works.
So I would prefer to call it maybe an educated guess instead of a crapshoot.
That's because you're more refined than I am.
So the vaccine is developed every year based off of the strains that circulated the year before and the strains that we see circulating in the southern hemisphere before they come over to us. And then the CDC and vaccine manufacturers make an educated guess based on those things on what the most likely strains to circulate are. This year, the vaccine is a good match for the circulating strains. The H1N1 strain that we are seeing circulating is in the vaccine, and many of the people that we've seen getting very severely ill are unvaccinated and so didn't have the benefit of that protection.
And it brings to mind another question, and you alluded to this a little while ago with regard to the people who had the vaccine 4 years ago, last time this swine flu was around. Are more or less immune? Is that a good representation of what you said? Would be immune?
They may have some residual immunity. They are not fully protected, and they could still become infected, but may not get as sick as people who have never seen this virus before.
But you have had to have the vaccine to have that partial immunity.
Either to have had the illness itself or to have the vaccine.
Okay. I have an email here that fits in with what we're talking about now from Rich. Says, is there a flu shot available for those who are allergic to the egg-based preservative in most flu shots?
So, yes. And this is good news on the flu vaccine development front this year. There are two new vaccines, one that is made in a cell culture development that is different than the old way, that does have a little tiny bit of egg, but much less than in the usual vaccines. And then there is a completely egg-free vaccine available this year as well, called FluBlock, that's made with a completely different technology that doesn't have any egg protein at all and so is safe for anyone with egg allergies. So I encourage anyone who thought they couldn't get it because of an egg allergy to seek out that vaccine.
We're talking about H1N1, and the vaccine is appropriate for that. Is it possible during this flu season that there are other flus out there for which the vaccine is not effective?
So far, the influenza viruses that have been identified in testing locally and by state and local health departments and by the CDC have all been primarily this H1N1 and then a little bit of an H3N2 strain that is also in the vaccine. And then we haven't seen very much influenza B, which often comes out later in the season and is also included in the vaccine. So we haven't seen much circulation this year of any viral subtypes that are not in the vaccine.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a break now, come back, and we'll take calls. We have a number of them, not unexpectedly. We'll be back with Dr. Hilary Babcock in just a moment. We'll continue talking about the flu and what can we do and what can be done to deal with it. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back as we continue our conversation on the flu season, and what can we do and what can be done to deal with it. My guest in studio is Dr. Hilary Babcock, an infectious disease specialist at Washington University. Joining us by phone now is Eleanor Peters, an epidemiologist with the St. Louis County Department of Public Health, and she is at a flu clinic as I understand it. Eleanor Peters, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Don. Hello, Dr. Babcock.
Hi, Eleanor.
Tell us something, Eleanor Peters, about what the county is doing and what sort of a season you're having at your various clinics.
Well, we were seeing a significant rise in the number of influenza A cases, so we decided to hold three external influenza clinics. I'm at the first one here at the North Central Community Center today. We run from 12 to 4. The next one is tomorrow at the John C. Murphy, again from 12 to 4, and then at South County on Thursday from 12 to 4. The turnout's pretty good. We still have lots of vaccine to give, and we're just trying to immunize as many people as possible. It's not too late to still get a flu shot, so we encourage everybody to come over and get one. To come and get one. It's free, and there's really no reason not to do it.
This seems to be a pretty bad season from everything we're hearing. I assume that you can bear that out in the county, given the business you have out there.
Absolutely. We over the past few weeks, we saw about a 400% increase in the rise in the number of cases. We run a sentinel surveillance system, which means it's not a bean counting operation. We don't count every single case of influenza that happens in the county. We have a handful of sites that we use year after year and survey them to see how much influenza they're seeing, who is it affecting. That report is on our website, which I'm sure will be available on the NPR website. But it pretty much hit around the week of Christmas and New Year's, and the rise was alarming. So we decided to do these, again, like I said, extra and external influenza clinics.
Dr. Babcock, how would you evaluate the overall response to the flu this season in general?
I think that the response has been good. The community has really come together. As Eleanor mentioned, the health department has been tracking this and has offered these flu clinics. And I would just mention as well that Barnes Jewish Hospital is also going to have a few extra flu clinics next week, Monday and Tuesday, January 20th and 21st. They're going to be at the O'Fallon Park Recplex from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday and Tuesday of next week. That was just set up, so hot off the presses. The hospitals in the region have been coordinating their response as well, so have been keeping track of available beds both within hospitals and within ICUs. And then Barnes Jewish Hospital and St. Louis Children's Hospital as referral centers around the region have also been coordinating as they've been taking transfers of some of the sickest patients to be able to provide some therapies that are difficult to manage in other settings, and have really taken a number of patients that have been very ill and been able to work with them to take care of them and provide care that has really been successful for some of those people.
I'll tell our listeners that all of the information that we're giving with regard to clinics and that sort of thing will be available on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Is the mortality rate this year higher than normal?
So we don't have an overall mortality rate, but we definitely seem to be seeing more deaths in that younger age range where we don't usually see as many deaths. Barnes Jewish Hospital, as was mentioned, has had 9 deaths so far this season. Most of those patients were referred into Barnes Jewish for critical care with ventilatory support and with other extraordinary measures to try and help manage their lung failure and respiratory failure. So we have had some deaths, but we've had many people, as we mentioned, that have been managed with medical care and have improved as well. We won't really be able to say what the overall mortality rate is until we get to the end of the season and have a better sense of that, but it definitely looks concerning.
Concerning. Eleanor Peters, anything you'd like to add about what you folks are doing before we go to the phones? I'd like you to stay with us because we do have a number of calls.
Sure. Primarily, you know, we are the reporting agency for the county, so we're basically tracking the flu as best we can and just making sure that we really get the word out through any number of channels, social media, press releases, et cetera. It's not too late to get vaccinated. Also, to cover your cough, stay 3 feet away from people. I'm sure everybody, you know, is aware of respiratory etiquette, but just to really put those measures in place at this juncture is some of the best protection in addition to getting an influenza vaccination.
All right. Well, let's go to the phones. Stay with us, Eleanor, and we'll start with Sandra calling from Bridgeton, who has a question about these shots. Go ahead, Sandra.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am 53 and have never gotten a flu shot because I've been afraid to get one. My family line has a genetic link to early onset Alzheimer's, and back in the 80s, some scientists was claiming that flu shots could cause Alzheimer's. And so I'm wondering, was that science ever debunked? Are they really safe? Is it guaranteed it can't trigger that?
Dr. Babcock, you want to take that one?
So there's definitely not been any link demonstrated between influenza vaccination and Alzheimer's disease. So I would recommend that you do protect yourself with the vaccine. The vaccines have been in use since the early 60s, so there are decades now of experience with these vaccines, and no link to Alzheimer's has been upheld by the literature.
You know, vaccines tend to get kind of a bad rap, it seems to me. They are accused or blamed for a lot of things, and eventually, most of the times, that information is debunked. What's going on?
Well, I think that a couple of things happen with that. For one thing, many of the diseases that we're vaccinating against, influenza is not one of these, but many of the diseases we vaccinate our children against, vaccines have been so successful that we no longer see the impact of the disease that we're protecting our children from. And therefore, people worry a lot more about the safety of the vaccine without having to visually see and be reminded of the severity of the diseases that we're preventing. So in some ways, vaccines are a victim of their own success in that way.
Eleanor Peters, do you find people have those concerns, the people that you deal with?
I mean, certainly, Don, people have a ton of, I would just echo Dr. Babcock, what she said. I think people have a ton of concerns about vaccines, and they are very much unsung heroes. You never know what you didn't get because you did get a vaccine. So it becomes, like she said, a victim of its own success. It is such a huge success story for modern medicine that it's difficult for people to see the forest for the trees in terms of how well it is protecting them, that the rumors and the misinformation tends to cloud how wonderful they are and really how incredibly lucky we are to have them at our disposal.
Sure. Let's bring in Carrie calling from Creve Coeur. I think she wants to continue on this path and then we'll drop it. But go ahead, Carrie.
Yes, I would like to know about the vaccine for people with autoimmune disease, which is, you know, you're supposed to, in a lot of these diseases, you suppress the immune system. So isn't the vaccine exciting the immune system, and isn't that a concern?
So a lot of patients who have an autoimmune disorder do take medication to suppress their immune response. This actually increases their risk of getting influenza or other vaccine-preventable diseases if they're exposed to them. And so vaccine is still recommended for those people. The risk of a flare or of an immune response after getting the influenza shot is usually lower than the risk of a problem if you actually got influenza. So in general, the vaccine is safer.
I have an email here from Dr. Ken Haller, who is a friend of ours on the program periodically, a pediatrician at Cardinal Glennon. He says, we've also been seeing a steadily increasing numbers among kids at Cardinal Glennon. Just a reminder that kids and infants as young as 6 months of age can and should get the flu vaccine. Extremely important that all members of the households that have a baby under 6 months of age need to be vaccinated to protect the baby. That seems like very good advice to me.
I agree completely.
Okay, let's go back to the phones, and we'll bring in Phil calling from Baldwin. Go ahead, Phil.
Yes, my son works for a well-known international company, and he travels over to Singapore and China, Hong Kong, inspecting the plants and seeing, you know, make sure. He's kind of like a troubleshooter. What he told me about the hygiene practices in these factories is appalling. They have no water to wash their hands. They have no soap. They have no antiseptic creams. And I said, Aaron. His name is Aaron. I'm sorry.
get to the question, please, Phil. Time is running out.
Since these viruses mainly originate over in China or in the Far East, maybe that's how the viruses and bacteria are getting into America, is on the packages that they send, you know, the toys and clothes and stuff that we buy around Christmas, around Thanksgiving, open at Christmas, and it be expired. I mean, could they debate this? I mean,
sure. Let's do that again. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we are running out of time. How about that? Are we importing the virus?
The virus does travel around the world. Mostly, it travels through people moving around the world and flying and globalization, and also through animals that may be moved around as well. The virus does not survive very well for long periods of time on inanimate surfaces and inanimate objects. So it's probably unlikely that something packaged a few months ago when opened now would still be contaminated with influenza viruses.
A couple of emails here I think can get a quick response. Bob writes, he's 60 years old and he had the flu shot in 2009. Is he residually protected from that shot, or can he just rely on that immunity that we talked about, the partial immunity?
So he should be vaccinated again.
Okay.
The immunity that you get from influenza is not a lifelong immunity like you might see with something like chickenpox, where if you get it, you're unlikely to get it again. You can still get it again in future years, and there may be small changes in the virus, and your immune system needs to be reprimed with the vaccine.
We also have an email from Deborah wanting to know, does the flu shot become less effective with age?
There is some data that suggests that in older populations, the immune response is less robust in older people. It is still of benefit for those people, but also means that it is helpful for others around them to get vaccinated to also protect the very young and the very old who may not have as good an immune response on their own. There is also a higher dose influenza vaccine that has been licensed for older adults that may have some additional protection in that population.
Right. Let's take another phone call. Barbara will join us from St. Louis. Barbara, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My daughter-in-law is a nurse, and I have two grandchildren, 5 and 2, and she's had them have all their regular vaccinations, but for some reason she feels that it's dangerous to have the flu shot every year, that it you get different varieties every year, and she learned something in her training that made her think that they should not have flu shots. And I cannot come up with any more arguments for them. I'm hoping you have some for me.
Okay, I'll give it my best shot. I definitely agree with you that the kids should be vaccinated. There's nothing that shows that vaccinating over time. There are healthcare workers who have gotten this vaccine every year since it came out in the 60s and continue to get it every year and continue to be protected. So there's nothing that suggests that getting this a different one every year somehow is a risky proposition for the children. And if they got the flu every year because they weren't vaccinated, they would also have exposure to this virus and different viruses every single year. But the risk of getting sort of natural immunity from those infections every year would be much higher than the risk of getting the flu shot.
How about if you are ill with other problems? One caller who didn't stay on the line said if you're sick with bronchitis or something like that.
In most cases, you can still get vaccinated. It is recommended that if you are acutely ill, so if you're having high fevers, very sick at the time, that you maybe wait until you're recovered to get the shot. But for most other people, even if you have a cold or if you have bronchitis, but you're not very ill, not in the hospital, not febrile, you could still be vaccinated.
Our guest, Eleanor Peters, the epidemiologist with the St. Louis County Department of Health, has left us. She's obviously very, very busy. We appreciate her being with us. I'll take another call before we have to say goodbye to Dr. Babcock. Anna in Edwardsville, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I'm just wondering if you can explain the correlation between the flu and chemtrails and what which alternative therapies such as acupuncture and herbal medicine can be useful in combating the flu and keeping your immune system up to avoid getting it.
What was the first part of that question?
Oh, I'm wondering if she can explain the correlation between the flu and chemtrails.
Chemtrail, what is that? Nobody here seems to know.
Basically, when you see the airplanes go in the sky, most airplanes don't have trails come behind it.
The contrails, I think, are what you're talking about, but I'm not sure that would have any relationship to the flu. That's a question of heat and cold creating a vapor.
If you watch the sky, you can pay attention, but she can answer that how she wants.
I'm not aware of any relationship between that and influenza. So in terms of other things that you can do for protection against influenza, again, the most important thing is to get vaccinated so that your immune system is primed to protect you. Other alternative methods and alternative therapies can certainly be tried in addition, but I would encourage people to also get vaccinated as the most effective most well-studied way to protect yourself against the flu.
But if you do get it, what should you be doing? Lots of chicken soup or what?
In general, if you do get the flu, stay home. And for most people, you can recover just taking care of yourself at home. If you appear to be getting more ill instead of improving, so if your fever stays high, if your cough gets worse, if you improve and then seem to get worse again, in all of those settings, you should really call a doctor. I would also just add as a quick aside, in this time of year, when most people with these kinds of symptoms will have the flu, some of the rapid testing that's available at walk-in clinics and urgent care centers is not very good at picking up the flu. So if you go there and you think you have the flu and your test is negative, I would still recommend that you follow up with your doctor and see whether you're eligible for antiviral medication and for treatment and call them if you seem to be getting sick and still stay home, because those tests have not been performing very well in this season.
The big thing is take it seriously. This is a serious issue and it can have dire consequences if you don't take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
A final thought from you before we say goodbye?
Please get vaccinated.
Okay. I kind of thought that's what it might be. Dr. Hilary Babcock, infectious disease specialist at Washington University, thanks so much for being with us. Our thanks, too, for Eleanor Peters for joining us for the short period of time that she was with us. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
Coming up, bitcoins. An update on an earlier discussion. Is the digital currency catching on in St. Louis? This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.